Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we welcome not one teaching legend, but two, as we make time for Toski and welcome back Mike Malaska. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones.
All right.
Welcome to the show. So glad to be along. Happy New Year to everyone. We're going to kick this year off right. First show of the new year, and believe me, it's a big one. Featuring the legendary Bob Toski, regular contributor. We know Bob. Bob's been probably contributing to this show for the last 15, 20 years, but this guy is amazing. He has done so much for so many people across his nearly century on this planet, and this is... celebrating 100 years of Toski for 2026. So let's welcome the big guy back to the show. Mr. Toski, thanks for making time as always, my good man.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Well, you know, I had to do a big intro, you know, but I was talking to Dennis Satisher recently, and, you know, we're looking forward to this big thing going on in Orlando at the PGA Merchandise Show. I don't know if final touches have been put on or not, but I think it's great what Dennis and the other pros who so admire you are doing.
Yeah, it is a goal, right?
Yeah, indeed. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, as far as I know, but you know,
it'll be interesting because of different ideas and comments coming from different people, and it'll make the show very interesting.
Yeah, what's going to make this show very interesting is, you know, we have one legend on right now, but, you know, what makes it better is two legends and a guy that just can't speak highly enough about you, and I don't know what happened here. This is the only person I've ever known, though, that takes his cell phone, dials some digits, gets Jack Nicklaus on the phone to say happy birthday to Bob Toski. Mike Malaska is the only guy that I've ever known to have that ability to do that. So, you know, Mike, welcome to the show. Surprise, Toski. Malaska's on, too.
It's a pleasure. What I want to ask Bob is, what thing gives him the right, just because he was the best player in the world in 1954, knew a lot about golf, and has spent 60 years teaching hundreds of thousands of people, what makes him think he knows anything about a golf swing?
About the what?
See, about the golf swing. He's deferring already.
Well, I'll tell you, when you've got a golf swing as good as mine, and you have the sensitivity of your hands and feet and body, I had to have that. That's called talent, T-A-L-E-N-T. And if you think I don't know anything about the golf swing with the body I had, 118 pounds, beating guys 200 pounds, then you guys got another thing coming.
Well, Bob, I got to tell you something. I did an interview with Jack, and it was actually after we did the little birthday thing with you. But Jack made a comment, and it just plays into you. I mean, I don't think anybody really understands, not even one fourth of what your knowledge is and where you are and how you understand the game. But Jack made a comment about, he says he sees a shot, and once he sees a shot, he says the first thing is he feels it in his fingers. And he says, and once his fingers feel it, then his hands figure out what they have to do, which then tells his arms to do what they need to do, and his body figures out what it has to do to accommodate what he's going to do there. I mean, if this industry would listen to you and Jack and stop worrying so much about whether or not their belly button's facing the target, you know, people would have a much better chance at having fun with the game.
Well, Mike, I didn't mean to be derogatory in my last remark about you, in reference to you, but you're right. Something that's touching has more control over something that's not touching. Now that's just that simple and logical. Your feet are touching the ground, your hands are touching the golf club, You took your feet off the ground, your hands off the club. What have you got? You might as well be on the moon.
Well, yeah, and you know, the whole industry, you know, we've spent so much time together, and I've learned so much. I mean, the first lesson I took from you, and I don't think you remember it, but I hit about four shots, and you came up to me, and you pinched me on the forearm of my right arm, and it hurt. And I went, ow, and you said, well, at least you've got some feel in those damn arms. Let's see if you can get them to work correctly.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, and so, you know, the industry and all of this, all this information that's out there, well-intended that it is, assumes levels of hand-eye coordination and control that the people we're working with, and even some tour players, don't necessarily have.
I agree. A lot of the tour players are playing from intuitiveness and by feel, but they don't know what's happening. It's all instinctive. It's a gift.
Yeah, it is a gift. I mean, there was a infomercial that was done where Tiger was talking. He had Rory and he had a couple of other guys. They were hitting wedges, and Tiger was telling him what he was doing with his hands through the ball with the club face to make the ball do different things. And they were looking at him like he had a third eye in the middle of his forehead.
Mike, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I said that 50 years ago.
Well, that was my point with the 1954 thing. I mean, you've known and experienced stuff. I find it interesting, and it's going to be fun to be at the PGA show with you and have these people hopefully have access and listen to what you have to say, because you're a player that learned how to teach. And that's a unique combination. And when we started working together, all of the things from a learning perspective and how the body learns to do things fit into what you were doing. So I'll let Keith interview you now. I just wanted to,
this is a round table, gentlemen. This is something not unique to this show. We've done it before, kind of, especially with Toski. And throughout the year, I'm going to have, Toski doesn't know, but I'm going to have special guests on when Toski's on, because he's such a contributor on a regular basis. And Mike, you know Bob for a long time, for decades. And you know, because when you took your lesson, you were what, just in college or coming out of high school or something. So it's been a few years that way.
Yeah. I was in my early 20s and lost, and I had gone from being a really good player to struggling, and had gone from one, you know, jumping around. And my dad took me up to see Bob when he was at a place, I think it was called Fish Haven, Idaho. I think that was the name of the place, but you know, he just walked up to me and I hit a few shots, and it was, you know, I'm standing there, and at the time what I was working on was not new to today, a lot of body and twist and this and that and the other. And he just walked up and pinched my arm, and he, you know, which was kind of a shock to me. I was like, what the hell are you pinching my arm for? He goes, well, at least you know you have one. Now let's see if you can get him to work correctly.
That's a total Toski move, Mike. You come to realize that's exactly what that was.
Oh, I know it is, but you know that whole belief system and understanding, you know, and I don't know where Bob got it. We've talked a lot, but that understanding of, it's called tactile learning. We basically learn everything we do after we're born from our hands, fingers, and toes inward.
Exactly.
And that's how the body learns how to do patterns, you know, and what they're trying to teach everybody to do now is they're trying to teach them to learn from the core out, which is totally controversial relative to if you understand learning and how the body learns patterns, it doesn't fit neurologically how you learn anything. So right there, you've got a problem.
How does a core fit into the golf swing when it's not touching the golf club or has any connection with the ground? I mean, it's
the part that's reacting. It's reacting to what your feet and hands tell it. That's when Nicholas said he feels, he sees a shot.
Well, That's beautifully said right there. I mean, you just said the right sentence right there. The core is reacting to other body parts.
Well, yeah. See, when Jack did his, I mean, I wanted you to be there. I wish you could have been there to see him, because he put his fingers, he looked right into the camera and he started rubbing his fingertips. And he goes, the first thing is I see the shot. And he says, I feel it in my fingers.
Yes.
And then I feel it in my hands, and my hands know what the face needs to do, and my arms know the path they need to be on, and my body figures out what it has to do to accommodate it. I'm going, oh, my God. Okay, there's Bob Tosky. There's the greatest players who've ever played the game. What's wrong with our industry? Why can't we listen to that?
You know, Mike, you bring up a valid point, and this is why we always make time for Tosky on this show, and we monopolize Bob because nobody else has caught on. I don't understand you talking about this industry. Now, I don't want to share Bob Tosky any more than you do, so I get that. We share it with our listeners and everything else, and they don't realize how fortunate they are sometimes to have that. But Bob's been around. Bob's going to be 100 years young this coming year, in 2026. And It's amazing and astonishing that just everything that he shares continually. Now, the fact that Dennis Shadashir and the other guys are going to get Bob up on stage and honor him and stuff, that's great. I'm very, very pleased for those guys, and Bob deserves all that kind of stuff. But why nobody else in media or what have you has tapped into this guy like we have, I always stand in awe of what we've done, and it's speechless, because it's the Tosky. I mean, there's just this next level of knowledge and everything else that he brings, because that's guys like you. I mean, you're no slouch yourself there, Malaska, you know, and been very, very, very successful and stuff. Yet it always comes back somehow to Bob Tosky.
Well, Bob is a legacy of golf greatness. He's a legacy of golf greatness. He has touched and seen the industry from the Bobby Joneses, from that level, to the Tiger Woods and the new guys who are out. He's watched the whole thing. And when you've had access to all of that, and you've been that good a player yourself, you're entitled to a freaking opinion that says, look, here's where the industry needs to take a look. And, you know, it bothers me, too. I mean, I wonder why more people don't listen. And even when you back it up with, I back it up with learning information and science as to how the body learns patterns. And it's right where Bob's at. And Bob and I have talked about this multiple times. Yet the industry seems to think somehow they're going to override centuries of how the body is designed to learn things. And they're going to do it different with golf, which is, in my opinion, is why people struggle with the game and never really get to where they can actually play golf, you know, because they're not playing golf. They're trying to make a swing thinking that that's going to be golf. And it's not even close. And that's, I think, me being a player and having struggled with it. And then being around Bob, who's had the success he had, and talking to him about what he was thinking, what he was doing, the same with Jack. These guys have commonalities, and when you start to understand those commonalities, you need to pay attention to them, because these are the greatest players who've ever played the freaking game.
Yeah, you know, you bring up so many valid points right there, Malaska, and that's one of the reasons we're not having just Tosky on. We're having a legendary Mike Malaska. Mike's been on before, I know, but these two guys together, and that's why I mentioned. Yes, my name is on the door. Tee It Up with Keith Jones is the name of the show. But when you can get guys like this that can then talk back and forth and appreciate each other and do a thing, this is why our industry is great in essence, and why it can be even greater if people just catch on. We appreciate you listening. We'll be back with these two after this break.
Hi, this is Bob Tosky, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. And we'll be right back. I'll keep my pants on.
We'll be right back. are back with Mike Malaska and the legendary Bob Toski, both legends in their own right. However, we wanted to surprise Bob because this is the upcoming 100 years of Toski. This is our new year as we're celebrating the first show of the year with the great Bob Toski and the Mike Malaska, who's no slouch either. So you gentlemen, I love when you guys have these moments of clarity for everybody, because it makes total sense for you guys, because you guys are so parallel to each other the way you teach the game and such. So to have the listeners have the opportunity to say, oh, wait a second, if I just step back, if I just step out of myself for a moment and digest what they're saying and how to better approach the game. And this, to me, goes to game management, because we hear a lot about game management or course management, right? Manage the course. No, you manage yourself around the course. That's what you need to do. So, you know, the terminology isn't really what it should be in that instance.
What if you lost all your fingers in your hands, your right and left hand?
I'd be upset.
No. Could you play golf?
Not traditionally. I've seen some veterans with missing limbs and stuff, and these guys just pound the ball. It is amazing to watch the finesse that happens. So,
well, they've then become attracted to another part of their body and learn to use and find that part, but they could never be tour pros.
Right.
They couldn't make a living on a tour. I mean, let's use some common sense here. I can't emphasize enough the fact that when I played and played well, I had a feel for the golf game like you couldn't believe. If I wanted to hook the ball, I could feel it in my hands. If I wanted to cut it, I could feel it in my hands. If I wanted to hit it straight, I could feel it in my hand. It was my hand control of the handle to control the head of the club and find the golf ball that was a secret to my success. All other parts of my body were moving, but I wasn't concerned about them as I was with my hands, because I knew how important they were.
But how do you teach that? So, Mike, you got a situation where, yes, you become a really good player, and you were a good player, a really good player in your own right. So can that be taught? Obviously, some people have that innateness and just that instinctiveness, if you will.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, some people are going to be better than others, but you can, if you teach it correctly. I mean, one of the first things I do with everybody is I get them out there and I stand them up and put a target line up and I say, okay, I want you to set up here, take hold of your club. I tee the ball up for them. I say, all I want you to do is take the club back, take it back, step your right foot, get your right hip out of the way so there's room for your arms, so you don't have to think about any body. Take the club back. Get the club to come from the inside, hit the ball, start it out to the right of that target line, and hook it back to the left. If you cannot do that, which every single tour player could do that without us, no, they wouldn't have to think. If you can't do that, we better learn how to do that first, because everything you're going to try to do with your body and all that's going on assumes that you have control of the face where you can move your body if you're going to go there, and your hands are going to go, oh, okay, if you're going to do that, I'm going to have to do this. Now, that's the reverse part of it, but the tour players are so good with their hands, even the guys who aren't the best at it, but they're all really savants with their hands. I can stand up, and Bob could do it too. We could stand there and move our body any way you want us to. And you gave us a couple of swings, and our hands would go, okay, if you're going to do that, I'm going to have to do this to get that club face on the ball. Well, 99.9% of people who are playing the game haven't learned those basic skills. So the whole body thing assumes levels of competency with the hands and arms that people don't have. So it actually makes them worse, not better. And occasionally on the range with a pile of balls and a bunch of swings, okay, they can pull it off. But you put them on the golf course with the wind blowing out of the left, water on the left, out of bounds right, they're playing for something, they're lost. They have not a clue what to do, not a clue. You know, and like I say, that's where Bob's magic. That's where the industry needs to listen. Because if you want to teach people to play golf, you have to come at it from a face control perspective. You can't come at it from a body controls perspective.
Yeah, and see, that definitely gets lost in the equation. People don't think of that, and they need to start doing it from that approach, not the other way around. Is Bob Toski is with us this hour, as well as Mike Malaska, two legendary coaches. And, of course, you know Toski because we always make time for Toski on this show. We'll be back to start the second half hour after this break.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. I haven't been this excited since I discovered I couldn't lick my elbow.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga Galunga.
Back for our second half hour of the show. Mike Malaska and the illustrious Bob Toski, who is never short for words, but, you know, we're monopolizing his time, Mike, so he can't tell stories and stuff up at this point. So we'll let him.
Let him go.
Yeah, we'll let
Who's kidding who?
Let the horse out of the gate.
That's it. Toski will let you know. Yeah, we like to we've learned. I personally have really taken notes between you and Steve Bourbon and some other guys that know enough to sit there and listen to Bob and not interject. I have learned some things over the years, so thank you for that as well. So, Toski, what say you, young man?
Well, I say this. Go to a restaurant and watch a mother or a father with a baby trying to teach them how to eat. And they put the food in their hand, and what happens to the food, Mike?
No, they throw it on the floor. They missed hit it, their face. They're all over the place.
What don't they have control of?
Their hands.
Yeah, and they finally teach them how to hold a knife, a fork, and a spoon. That's an implement, like a golf club, only they don't have to have 14, they only use 3. But they have to learn to use those 3 to learn how to eat properly, and that's the process of learning. And then, of course, you remember when they were waiting for the baby to learn how to walk, and finally the baby gets up and starts walking, and the mother says to her husband, look at, Joan is walking, she's walking, and then she found her feet, and there you go, she found her hands and then her feet, and then she had control of her body. Jesus, I'll tell you, how simple is that? And if there's no logic to that, then I'm never going on your show again, Keith.
Thank you, Bob, for that. I appreciate that. No, it's simplistic. It's so simple, yet why is it so hard?
Because they haven't trained the parts of the body. They're not athletically endowed. How many people are playing golf on this Mother Earth? Mike?
How many? I don't know. 100 million. There's a ton.
The number of people that are playing golf, how many of them are any good at all? Most of them are what? High handicappers?
Well, over 90% of people who play golf can't break 100 on a consistent basis. So that answers that question.
What do they lack? They lack hand-eye coordination. You cannot dispute that point. That is logical, sensible, and a fact.
Hey, Mike, give me that statistic again. Give it to 90%.
It's high 90%. Like 95 or 96% of people who play golf consistently cannot break 100 on a consistent basis.
Wow. Wow.
What's that tell you, Keith?
When you start talking about, here's where Bob and I come from. And Bob much more than me, but I've probably seen over 500,000 people now through golf schools and clinics and put your hands on them and worked with them. And when you've seen that many people, you start to understand where the bulk of these people we're working with, how much control and hand-eye coordination they have. And you have to fit the information into the ability that someone has. And if you do that, they have a chance of being pretty good at it. But when you go further than their hand-eye coordination has the ability to control the club, it's a train wreck. And, you know, and most of these teachers don't even test to see small motor skills, little teeny things. I mean, it's incredible. Bob learned to play golf the first, I can't remember, you can ask, Bob can tell us, but the first few years he played, they wouldn't let him do anything but chip and putt.
Exactly.
Okay, so he got really good at chipping and putting, control the face, hit it low, hit it high, run it out, putt it in the hole, before he ever started making a big full swing. Okay, well, the average person, you take them over and you have them chip or putt, it's amusing. I mean, they can't even hit the center of the face with a chip shot. And yet they want to swing their driver and see how far they can hit it. Now, I'm not saying that you have to stay at the lower, but you've got to at least learn and spend some time developing the lower level to expect the high-speed stuff to have any chance of happening with any degree of consistency or repeatability. I mean, anybody can get lucky once, but can you do it twice in a row?
Well, the patience isn't there. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, not only that, Keith, the patience is this. You got to crawl before you walk, and you got to walk before you run. And the golf is being taught to run before you walk and crawl. So we're going the up. We're going backwards. Golf should be learned from the green to the tee, so you get back to the tee, from the tee to the green quicker. We're trying to play golf from the tee to the green, and we get there at in number 8 or 9 because we haven't learned the touch and the feel of the game, from a putt to a chip to a pitch to an approach to a drive. That's the process. You can't deny it.
Well, people don't do it, though. I mean, it's so tedious. I mean, I'll go out and play some par three courses, and so much time gets spent on the green. I was like, yeah, after your fourth missed putt, you should think about picking up maybe, you know? It's just this cyclical thing, really. It doesn't matter if it's the tee shot or the approach shot or the green action.
Well, see, Keith, one of the biggest reasons that golf is hard, And I'll let Bob see all these other sports, baseball, tennis, ping pong, you go skiing, either the speed of the ball coming at you or the severity of the sport where you're going to get hurt forces you to a pace you understand or you can't even participate in it. Golf allows people, because the ball's sitting still, it allows people to occasionally get lucky and hit a shot and they think they've got something. They have nothing. They got lucky. And so, you know, when I learned and Bob learned, I had a shag bag. I had to go pick up every ball I hit for the first 4, 5, 6 years I played. I didn't have a driving range. So there was a penalty for not hitting the ball where I wanted it to go. Plus, those golf balls were priceless to me. You know, the industry now, people stand on the range with a pile of balls swinging from, you know, who knows what they're swinging at. And 1 out of 10, they hit it where they could actually find it. That's why people struggle. And the industry's not doing a whole lot to get them to understand how to get better.
Well, let me put it again this way. Mike, speed kills. If I have an uncoordinated person that has poor hand-eye coordination, and if I can tell them to make a 4-foot putt, I'll give them a straight putt, then I give them a 8-foot putt. And the further he gets away from the hole, the harder it is to find the hole. Is that true?
True.
True.
Well, it's because the speed of the club head gets faster, right?
True.
It moves at a greater sense of speed. So the more speed you create, and the further you are from the hole, the harder it is to find it. So how would you learn to play golf? Hold the putt from 4 feet, hold it from 8 feet consistently, then 12 feet, then chip, see how quick you can chip it close and then the hole, and stay there until you can do that, and then pitch the ball until you can do that. Golf is not a learning process where it happens overnight. It only took me 5 years to learn how to win. And it wasn't that easy, but I enjoyed every challenge that I had.
Well, isn't that really where our game is? Is people, they want people to play, but you don't do things to help them play. Thus, they don't stay in the game because equipment's so expensive and the lessons, you got to seek somebody out. You got to put some effort in. You need to practice all those things, you know. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, golf is time consuming. You're kidding.
Well,
anything that's worthwhile is time consuming, and it's not about the time. It's a constant learning and growing process. You're learning about yourself, so it's not people look at it the wrong way. You know, disciplining yourself and learning the process and going through the process and being able to increase your ability to do something is what the game is all about. It's connecting yourself with yourself. And that should be more about the game than how far did you hit your driver. I mean, this game is a human development game, as much if not more than any sport I've played, and I've played pretty much all of them. And we don't push that message enough. We push the message of who hits it the farthest.
That's exactly right. So that creates a bigger arc, greater speed, and a lot of airmail, but no zip code.
So Mike broke it down pretty simplistically there, Bob. But what's the solution?
He's smarter than I am, but he's not better than I am.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. That was a huge compliment right there, kind of cross-handed, Mike.
One thing Toski taught me is you got to learn how to be politely insult people so they're not sure if you paid them a compliment or you cut their legs out from under them. You know, so it's, you go, man, was that a compliment or was that an insult? I'm not quite sure which one that was.
That sounds right. That's why we love him, Mike. What are you going to do, man?
It's facing reality. That's what it's all about. If you start, people have egos, and they have ideas that they're pretty good at something, and then when they find a teacher that knows what it's all about and he puts it on them straight on, you know what happens. I'm the bad guy.
You are a bad man.
The older I get, the more I'm becoming like Toski, and the fact that I care a tremendous amount about people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care about patting their ego when it's not worth patting. So if they can't do something, I'm going to show them what they can't do and what they need to learn. If they don't necessarily like it, that's not my fault. You know, because Bob's been at it long enough. He's taught me so many things about the learning process and where people need to be. And when I see somebody that has a problem, I'm going to show them what the problem is. And if they go, well, what about my head? I go, your head? Did I say anything about your head? No. Well, then it's not relevant at this point. You know, it's interesting. And you get the more you understand what really needs to happen, the less patience you have for people who keep trying to jump the learning curve.
Fair. Everybody wants to do it, but you get there sooner. Bob tells a great story about a guy he worked with. I think he's a little older gentleman. And I'll defer to you on this. I don't remember if it was a 5-iron or 7-iron. And Bob made this guy play with this one club for a round of golf. And he shot one of his best rounds ever. However, he refused to use it going forward to play with his friends.
Well, this was one of my students, Mike, and I think I told you the story. And after the school was over, he came to me and said, would you give me a 9-hole playing lesson and I'll pay you any kind of money? And I said, no, you're in my school. I'll give you 9 holes and no charge. Okay. So we go to the tee, and I don't say anything. And She didn't ask me what club to use, and I didn't tell him what club to use. And he whipped out the driver. Now, this guy's a 20 handicapper. You know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better find a new head cover. I thought that was cute. Well, anyway, he takes out his driver, and it's out of bounds. He retees it again and hits it in the bunker. And I said, well, what do you think you're going to make on this hole? He said, well, I'll probably make 6 or 7. I said, well, aren't you interested in scoring? Do you want to score? Yeah, I'd like to learn how to score. Well, here, how far do you hit a 5-iron? Oh, I hit it 150 yards. Can you put it in the fairway? Yeah, well, show me. Takes out a 5-iron and hits it 150 yards. I said, well, go pick up those other 2 balls if you can find them and play the ball that's in the fairway. Take your 5-iron out again. And can you hit it 150 yards down toward the green? Show me. It's down in front of the green. And you hit 150 yards twice, that's 300 yards. You hit a 400-yard hole. How much? You got 100 yards left. 100 yards. It shouldn't be too hard to be able to put the ball on the green. Can you put the ball on the green with me with a wedge? He knocks it on the green with a wedge. He 2 putts and he makes 5, and he says, I made a bogey. I said, no, you made a par. Par is a bogey for you. You're a 20 handicapper. It's not a 4, it's a 5. You made a par on that hole. Now, you're going to play the rest of the 9 holes with a 5-iron, and I may add, shorten some of the holes, depending upon how hard the hole is. But you're going to play 9 holes with a 5-iron, and tell me how many penalty strokes you have after the round. He plays 9 holes with a 5-iron. What do you think he shot, Mike?
No, he probably shot just a few over par.
What number do you think he shot?
Probably 5, 6, 7 over par.
He shot 45.
Okay.
I said, have you ever shot 45? He said, no. I said, well, if you played the back nine and I wasn't there and you shot 45 again with a 5-iron, that's 90. Have you ever shot 90? He said, I've never shot. Came close. Well, I said, you kept the ball in play. You used a club that you had some control of, and you gave up distance for direction. Now, here's what's going to happen on Saturday when you meet the boys on the first tee. You're going to walk out there with a 5-iron in your hand, and they're going to wonder, what happened to you last night? Did you get drunk or something? What are you doing with a 5-iron in your hand? Well, I just took a lesson from Bob Towski, and he showed me how to shoot 45 on 9 holes.
Indeed, with Bob Towski and Mike Malaska, we'll be back to wrap up the show. Back with the two golf teaching legends, Mike Malaska, based out of Arizona, although he gets around, watch out, and of course our man Bob Towski, who always has a great story. And Bob, back to that the story with the guy with the 5-iron. So he goes out with his friends, and so why do people? And Mike kind of alluded to this earlier. I put it right in front of you. Here is the solution. Why, if we're talking about your knee, do you talk about your head?
Well, golf is a game of the brain and the body. but the brain better understand what the body has to do to control a golf ball with a golf club. And the face of the club is what you hit the ball with. So you better learn how to find that first. In the face of the club, you should find it with a putter first, if you're a hacker. And then a chip and a pitch.
But you showed the guy his holy grail was the 5-iron. But what happens in the translation? Too much testosterone gets involved? Is it?
Well, because the game has been the whole thing is, if you hit it farther, you're a better player.
Yep.
And people, that's not the game. It's just like, and I'll just really quick, if you're playing baseball and somebody's soft tossing it to you and you're swinging and missing it all the time, it's unlikely that throwing the ball at you harder, you're going to get better. So in baseball or softball or whatever, you'd say, well, let's put it on a tee and let me see if I can find the ball first before you start throwing it at me. Okay, well, see, that doesn't happen in golf because anybody can occasionally make a swing, put the ball in the right spot, and make a couple of swings, and all of a sudden they find the club runs into the ball, but they don't have any idea why or how, and they can't duplicate it. And then the industry says, well, if you hit it farther, the farther you hit it, the closer you are to the hole, the better player you're going to be. Well, no, most people that I've worked with, more speed, they hit it farther out of play. It doesn't make them better. And so, you know, it's just about what Bob has seen over his career, what I've seen with hundreds and thousands, millions of people, the learning process. They don't respect the learning process of the game. And because they don't, people in the game are struggling to ever get very good.
Hmm. Toski?
Well said, Mike.
I learned it from you, Bob.
Well, we learned it from each other. We shared knowledge. And why don't you tell them about the first time I met you and you were trying to play better on the tour?
We don't have enough time for that. The show's running.
We only got a couple minutes left on this one. This could be a long story. Mike gets invited back on again, but he knows that anyway. Toski's always on, and Malaska becoming a regular contributor now too, apparently. So anyway.
Bob was always willing to politely insult you and let you understand if that's what you want to do, here's where you really are. And so it was an eye-opening experience. And I thought, no, I'm doing pretty good. And I found out, no, I wasn't doing very good. And I was willing. I said, okay, then what do I have to do to get better? The problem is most people, the commitment level that they have and where they need to go to get better, even if they would just spend a little bit of time chipping, putting, pitching, little face control, they're going to play better golf. Because they're going to have more face control. If they don't spend any time with face control, I don't care how good their body moves. They might look good, but they can't play. It's empty suit. It's the guy that shows up in the suit that's got no game.
Hmm. Makes sense to me. All right, gentlemen, last word from each of you. You have the floor.
Got the last word. I'm done.
I'll tell you one thing. You talk about face control. If I got a beautiful girl looking at me and I set her lips and I put my lips on hers, she says, boy, you got good face control.
There it is. Okay, the great Bob Toski. Mike, I don't know how to follow that, except I got to wrap up this show.
I'm done.
Gentlemen, it is indeed a pleasure. I'm only on this show, only on Tee It Up with Keith Jones, you get Bob Toski and Mike Malaska, and of course, you can't top the Toski. No, but get out there and practice your game. They told you what to do now. Practice, practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.